Welcome to the Home Business Podcast with Richard Captain Henderson, publisher of Home Business Magazine, and Sherilyn Colleen, managing editor. This how-to show helps you successfully operate your home-based business.
Greetings and welcome to the Home Business Podcast. I'm Richard Captain Henderson, your skipper at Home Business TV.
And I'm Sherilyn Colleen, your co-host.
Let's secure for sea and get underway. Email is critical to your marketing and business success. Have you ever sent an email to a business partner, colleague, client, or sales prospect and never got a response?
It's probably not that they are too busy to respond. It's because they don't want to respond. Simply put, your email did not hit the mark.
If you want to be heard through all the clutter, before you press send, consider the recipient of your email. What can you do to make your email stand out from all the rest?
Helping us today to get our emails sent and received is Stacy Hank, a communications expert and author of Influence Redefined.
So, greetings, Stacy Hank. Say hello to our podcast audience.
Hi, thanks so much for the opportunity today and just share some tips and hopefully some very valuable takeaways that they can apply immediately.
It's an important subject. Where are you connecting in from today?
Chicago.
Very great. Nice. Right down the road from us.
In our neck of the woods.
Oh, you're also in Chicago.
Not quite.
Nah, well, close. Minneapolis, close. St. Paul.
Yeah. Okay, because we still, any city in the Midwest, we suddenly say we're all neighbors, right?
Yeah, we're all neighbors. We live in flyover country.
We do.
Okay, all engines ahead standard. At the end of today's show, we'll share with you our best home-based business tip. Today's tip, in your call to action, in a marketing offer, what is one of the best and most neglected ways to get that sales prospect to make a purchase decision? Stay tuned. We'll give you the answer at the end of today's show.
Okay, Stacy Hank, let's lay the foundation for all of our email dysfunction. The root problem is our emails not being comprehended by those whom we send emails to. So what are the reasons that cause someone to ignore our emails in the first place?
My first thought is, how much time do you have? Here's what I'm finding
I've
out.
I've got a 3-hour broadcast here. So,
do you? I don't think your listeners want to listen that long.
Definitely not to me.
Exactly. I'll narrow it down. There's so many reasons why. I think the most common sense one is we don't give thought to it. Think about how long you've been sending emails in your personal life, in your professional life. And numerous times we will receive requests from our clients saying, can you teach our leaders how to compose an email? I'm thinking, wow, that just seems so common sense. But I think because there's so much noise, meaning we are receiving messages 24/7 every day in many different mediums, emails are even that much more important to take time to think through it before you press send. The very first one, and this is not in any order, how many of us find that we get emails that don't even pertain to us? Mm-hmm. Message you're thinking, I don't even know why I received it. We really need to think through who is receiving it and why, and what do they really need. If we just thought through those three, I bet you'd minimize the amount of messages that you're sending to the masses population. The second one, again, this is not in any order, make your emails accompanying with more white space than words. When in doubt, always, always have a conversation before sending an email. Even if you call someone, my rule of thumb with my team and my company is, when in doubt, you're writing the email and you're wondering, I don't know how they're going to respond, what they're going to think, then don't write it. I mean, it's instead, call them up. And even if you need to leave a voicemail, at least that listener hears the tone of your voice. That has a lot more power than just the words alone. In the voicemail message, you can always share with them, I'll send the details today in an email. I just want to make sure that you heard from me first. So when in doubt, right? Really through, am I better off getting out of my chair, walking around to the other cubicle or down the hallway, creating this chaos of the back and forth of email? But that's a real strong rule within my company is I always tell my team, pick up the phone and start hanging up the email. Mm-hmm. Use the phone first. Second, we're on number three. One thing I was taught a long time ago is never insert the subject line first. Leave that action the very last thing you do before you send the email. Now, here's why. If you accidentally hit send, you'll receive a message that says you don't have a subject line, so it doesn't send it if you're not ready. Most importantly, how can you identify a subject line before the whole message is there? And the subject line is what's going to intrigue. That's the idea behind a subject line, to tease them, to intrigue that listener, that reader, to open up your message. How many of our listeners today in your podcast are probably grinning right now thinking, oh my gosh, I have someone back at the office. Every time they're ready to send an email, it's got the red flag and it says,
everything is a crisis.
Exactly. And they open it up and it's like one sentence. And the subject, you got to think of like you're sending out, you're putting together the headlines on MSNBC.com and you're trying to get the reader to open up your headline. That subject line has to be given a lot of thought. And it's not the purpose of a full sentence. Think like a billboard. You know, when you see a billboard and sometimes just the message on the billboard grabs your attention, that should be in your subject line.
The subject line should be kind of like your call to action too, I guess, right? What do you want the recipient to do?
You got it. Now, you're making a really good point, Richard, because if that's there, now let's build off the email. In the email, this whole idea of white space, whenever you can, ask for a call to action, because now that again builds the reputation that every time you send an email, there's purpose behind it. I probably should read it. And second, what's in it for them? I'll give you an example. Anytime that we're trying to get individuals to schedule calls with us, instead of saying, you know, let us know what time this week works for you, no, they just deleted that because everyone has their time as well. Instead, we'll simply put in bullet points, what date and time works best for you, Monday at 10, Tuesday at 3. And then right below that or above that call to ask, we always write in, why do we want them to call us? What's the benefit for them to connect with us?
So you want to try to get them to make a decision then in that email. Give them a decision that's then leaving it open-ended.
Mm-hmm. Yeah, but there has to be a reason, yes? Mm-hmm. It goes back to where this conversation started this afternoon. They receive so many messages, not just via email, but social media. What is it that is going to be in your email that's going to intrigue them to want to respond instead of delete?
Well, great points. In today's communication environment where it seems like 90% of your communication is by email, we need to figure out how to write better emails. So, Stacy, can you share some examples of poorly written emails?
Gosh, the poorly, I'm going to go off of, I recently did a speech on this, of all things. I'd gotten the request of, can you include in your typical keynote presentation something about emails? I asked them, well, what's going on at your company? And the buyer said, let me send you some emails that our leaders are sending out, and you can use those as examples on a PowerPoint screen behind you. Sounds good. So the emails that they sent me literally was a lot of the CCC, the entire company.
Oh, yeah.
Long. You get lost. You don't even know where the message started. It was that in depth of how many emails they had piled on. One word responses. Sounds good.
Hopefully it took out some of the sender's addresses in that presentation.
I did. That was part of the deal, yes. But it was just one word answers. There was no purpose behind why am I sending you this email. Sometimes it came across as they were there. The grammar was awful. The spelling was awful. And I think we want to be careful with emails. I'm not just talking about sending it through your laptop or your Mac, whatever you use, but what about the phone? And how many of us have, when we send it through our smartphone, in the bottom of our signature, some phrase that says, forgive my errors.
Oh,
yeah. Errors. Mm-hmm. What do you mean, forgive your errors? there's not room for error if you really
want to have influence.
Exactly, yes. Right. I think the piece, though, is there's no purpose behind the message. And it's either because shouldn't have gone to me, or it's so poorly written, there's no action, there's no value, and there's not even full complete sentences, or there's so much grammar errors. Mm-hmm. That compose of a really ineffective message. And you've got to keep in mind that your reputation enters your receiver's box before you ever hit send. Once you start to get the reputation that your emails, they're never that important. I don't even need to.
Oh, that's a good point. That email reputation.
That's right. Who's going to open your emails when they start to see that your name is attached to it? If you've got the reputation of you never really have purpose behind what you send.
Yeah, I mean, that's a dimension I hadn't really thought of. But, you know, you're working on your email, but you're getting a reputation before it's even sent. So you've got to hit that, you know, what's the point of this email? Keep it brief, a good call to action, so that, when you're sending an email, think about what that recipient's going to think the next time they get an email from you.
Yeah, that's it. And it's the purpose. So now let's go back to that one point, because I think this is where an attachment comes into play. When we're doing an email or any type of communication, we're really into sales. We're all sales. We're trying to sell our ideas, our concepts. We're trying to sell people to be influenced by what we're asking them to take action on. Well, in an email, really taking time to decide who really needs all the details versus which group doesn't need this email at all, or which group needs the details and the attachment. I think that's a step we don't take. And it's just we're so overwhelmed with messages throughout the day. It's put the message together, put all the info in it.
That just blast everyone.
Yeah, and that's going to create a negative reputation as well, that you're not sensitive to what truly is important to your listener. And the more you do that, the more your messages resonate for them, the more likely they're to listen, the more likely they're to follow your emails.
Oh, good point. Well, before we go on to our next topic, I'd like to highlight this show's sponsor, Lonnie Cassina, author of The CEO's Guide to Marketing. Do you want more leads, higher sales, and a better brand? Then read The CEO's Guide to Marketing, 2018 Axiom Book Award winner, the most practical marketing book you will ever read. The CEO's Guide to Marketing is available at Amazon, or visit the podcast website for more information on sponsors.
Now, Stacey, the equivalent of shouting into the telephone 20 years ago is putting words in all capitals in an email. So, to all caps or not to all caps?
I just yell at my email when I'm sending it.
No. That works too.
Exactly. In hopes it will work, right? No caps. Amazing. No caps.
No caps.
It seems so common sense, yet I do receive messages from my clients that it's all caps. Keep it short. We all admire leaders, whether it's in person or via email. We all admire leaders who say less, but always have a lot of impact through it. And the less you say means you're leaving out the words that don't have influence, the words that don't have impact. Therefore, the words that you do leave in that written message, the more impact that message will have.
So it's not only what you say in an email, but how you format what you say. There is a critical visual element to the emails that help get them read. Format is a key dimension to these emails. So, Stacey, why should you only use bullet points to communicate key ideas, recommendations, and action steps?
You're trying to get your message to stand out from the noise. And there's something about the visual, you know, we're all visual learners to some degree, that when you can bullet out the key concepts and ideas, you're reducing the risk of your listener missing those points if they were all in a long paragraph, long run-on sentences. It is also gentler on the eye because it creates white space in that message.
And that white space should come through on your smartphone too when you're on a smaller screen device.
Exactly.
Better that way.
Gosh, and just use the smartphone or whatever phone you have. Use it like it was the actual message on the computer, the laptop, whatever you're using. Because again, your name is still attached to it. The reputation is always being built, no matter what medium you're using.
Great. Now let's go back to ground zero. Your inbox is empty. Stacey, why should you consider your empty inbox a gift and use it as a friendly reminder that you need to get back on track and adapt your email message to your recipient's actual needs?
I think there's two points there. Is I thought you were going to go in a different direction when you said your inbox is empty. I don't know if it's my inbox is ever empty, but one thing I never let sit is I never let an email sit for more than 24 hours. Mm-hmm. You know, we're all busy. I don't care what you do. It's really your priority. And when a client will respond to me in a month, I'm like, at that point, do I really want that relationship? In my mind, I'm thinking they are always going to take forever to respond. So that's part of email etiquette as well as how quickly do you respond? If you're responding days later, well, it really does communicate that either A, you don't know how to organize throughout the day or prioritize, or B, you don't see that person as important. And then you start jeopardizing that respect.
Well, that's a good point to pull out. If you're, you know, if you have an important client or somebody you're trying to reach and you're not responding in a timely manner with email, just thinking it's there at your convenience, you could actually be jeopardizing that relationship. Because again, it gets back to how is the recipient viewing that?
That's it. And you know, email, it's such a risky business because it's only your words. That's it. That's why one of my earlier comments during this podcast was, gosh, when in doubt, if you just have 1 second of hesitation on, I'm not sure how this will come across, at least leave a voicemail. Attempt to have the message.
Well, so let's end with some good old-fashioned communications like that. Sometimes you just need to say, delete the email in a digitally saturated world. Why is the tried and true telephone sometimes the best way to be heard?
Because you've got your voice to support your message. I mean, this is a prime example. If we were doing this conversation today via email, you send me the questions, I give you the answers, the dynamic would be completely different. There's a strong chat risk that you would completely misunderstand what I'm saying. Mm-hmm. Look at how the conversation we're having today, how my answers, I can feel it, you're building off of what I'm saying to you. So perhaps you might be going in a different direction just because the message is going in that direction to better serve all of your listeners with your podcast viewers. I think there's always that piece. There's something to be said of you can play with your voice. You can experiment with your voice to really emphasize, like a bullet point emphasizes a key an email. The voice still has that genuine, that authenticity that emphasizes it even more. There is also something too to say about when people hear your voice, it's easier to create a relationship that way than the only way they meet you is over email. So I'm going to give you an example of this because I bet you can relate. I bet all your listeners can relate. Not too long ago, I was reached out to by a meeting planner to present at a conference, and I came very close by not accepting the opportunity because the conversations via email were so rough around the edges is the best way to describe it. I didn't feel comfortable, and I really thought, gosh, I just don't know if I want to work with her. She's really difficult. Mm-hmm. This backfired. I meet her. I decide to do it. I meet her at the event. She's probably one of the kindest people.
Just the email. It just wasn't coming across in the word.
Oh. And when I met her, I thought, did you send those or did you have someone else send those messages? Well, after the presentation, I'm running to the airport. I'm already in the Uber. I had forgotten some equipment back at the site. So I quick dropped her a text saying, oh my goodness, I forgot this. I'm coming back around to get it. And she was back to that original, real harsh text. I thought there's a prime example because influence truly means that you are consistent, that how you show up is consistent in every single medium.
Did you have a little talk with her and sort of say, hey, you know, your email's coming through a little rough, or just kind of left it at that?
I left it go right, wrong, or indifferent. I'm not sure on that one.
Client is always right.
Exactly.
Well, Stacy Hank, thank you for being such a great guest on the Home Business Podcast.
Thanks again for the opportunity. It was fun talking to both of you.
Okay, the answer to today's home business tip and your call to action in a marketing offer. What is one of the best and most neglected ways to get that sales prospect to make that purchase decision? Create a sense of urgency with a deadline to act or a limited availability. This will subconsciously help get that prospect off the fence.
To learn more about Stacy Hank, visit www.stacyhankinc.com or our podcast website for more information.
Thanks for joining us on this episode of the Home Business Podcast. Share your feedback with us on Facebook, Twitter, Instagram, and at our website, homebusinessmag.com.
Visit the website for information on advertising. Subscribe free to our newsletter. Please visit our sponsors. For more information, visit homebusinessmag.com or the Home Business Expo at homebusinessexpo.com.
I'm Richard Captain Henderson saying anchors away.
And I'm Sherilyn Colleen. We'll talk with you soon. Until then,
make it a great home-based biz day.